The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Thursday, May 9th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, and I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And boy, do we have a program for you tonight. Listen, before we get started, I need you to hit that like button, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. This is going to help push our platform out there on the algorithm of all these platforms. And guys, of course, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to pick it up today. It's your Apple store, your Android store. Depending on what device you got, just go to your Play Store, download our free app, hit yes to push notifications. This way you can keep up with all of our headlines and every podcast when it's readily available. We do want to welcome all of our viewers, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you watch our programs from the app, whatever the case may be. And of course, all of our listeners on podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, here on YouTube, whatever the case may be, we want to officially welcome you. And of course, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. So the Biden administration is at it again. They are playing with fire. And the timing of this is very impeccable, to say the least. The timing of this is astounding because we are currently, as of the broadcast of this on May 9th, America has undergone several days of tornadic activity that has spawned hundreds of tornadoes. We're going to get to that in just a moment. We're going to give you an update on that. Destructive tornadoes that has spawned across Kansas and Texas and all places across Kentucky, Alabama, Tennessee, and the list goes on. And I'm going to show you why this could just be the beginning of what is going to come this year. And a lot of this is going to be, and we've warned about this, guys. How this administration treats the nation of Israel is going to determine the level of severity, I believe, of a lot of these disasters. Today we're going to show you undeniable proof that when a nation begins to mistreat the nation of Israel and begin to put pressure on them to force them to be divided, it always ends in disaster. So let me give you the latest on this. Joe Biden, in a recent interview on CNN, says that he will stop sending bombs and artillery shells to Israel if it launches a major invasion of Rafah.
They're going to Rafah. I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities, to deal with that problem.
The president has already paused a shipment of 3,500 additional U.S. bombs to Israel.
Civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs.
An Israeli official tells NBC News there is deep frustration over the U.S. decision to delay the bomb shipment. Republican critics also pushing back.
I think Biden's treading on some thin ice there, and he's making a big mistake.
For the first time in a recent interview, Biden said that he would completely halt some shipments of American weapons to Israel. In other words, we are going to stop supporting Israel. We're turning our back on the nation of Israel and supporting them militarily. He acknowledged, had been used. Now, this is according to Joe Biden, the shipments of American weapons to Israel has been used to, quote, kill civilians in Gaza. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu orders a major invasion of the city of Rafah, this support will be done. It will stop. In an interview, he said that civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs and other ways in which they go after population centers. Again, this was told by Biden on Aaron Burnett on CNN's exclusive interview on Aaron Burnett Out Front, referring to 2,000-pound bombs that Biden paused shipments of last week. Quote, this is what Biden's saying here. I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, they haven't gone in Rafah yet. Let me back up here. Let me say this again. I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, they haven't gone in Rafah yet. If they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities that deal with that problem. This comes as the president has come under extraordinary pressure, including from members of his own party, to limit shipments of arms amid a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Until now, the president had resisted those calls and strongly supported Israel's efforts to go after yet a looming invasion of Rafah, the city in southern Gaza, where more than a million Palestinian civilians have been sheltering, appears to have shifted the president's calculus. Now, according to Biden, he says that, quote, we're not walking away from Israel's security, but we are walking away from Israel's ability to wage war in those areas. He went on further and said, we're going to continue to make sure Israel is secure in terms of Iron Dome and their ability to respond to attacks that came out of the Middle East recently. But it's just wrong. We're not going to supply the weapons and artillery shells. So in other words, Biden is saying we're going to support Israel and helping them defend, but not carry out offensive, is what they're saying here. Now, here is another art. Look at this headline here. Quote, this is from the New York Times. Turning point or breaking point? Biden's pause on weapons tests ties to Israel. I want to read the verbiage here. This is what I think is interesting here. I want to read this to you. The message was not getting through. Not through phone calls or the emissaries of the public statements of the joint committee meetings. And so, frustrated that he was being ignored, President Joe Biden chose a more dramatic way of making himself clear to Israeli leaders. He stopped sending the bombs. Biden's decision to pause the delivery of 3,500 bombs to Israel was meant to convey a powerful signal that his patience has limits. While insisting that his support for the Jewish state remains ironclad, Biden, for the first time since the Israel war erupted last fall, opted to use his power as Israel's chief arms supplier to demonstrate his discontent. Look at this. I'm going to read this here. The hold on the bombs represent a significant turning point in the 76-year-old relationship between the United States and Israel. Historically, one of the closest security partnerships in the world, but it may not necessarily be a breaking point. The Biden administration is still allowing most of other weapons to be sent to Israel for now. Anyway, one has to question what's going to happen. Let me just pull this back here and just talk to you for a moment. What's going to happen when more demonstrations and protests continue on universities? They continue to pour into Washington. They continue to disrupt events. All this pressure, this tremendous amount of pressure, becomes on Biden, comes on his administration, comes in Washington. Guys, you don't think that what may be limited support turning from Israel will eventually lead to full support of turning from Israel? Anybody can see this. This is what's happening. Now, why is this important? Today, we're going to go deep, guys, so I want you to take this journey with me. I want to take you to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Again, I want to go through this pretty quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in detail on this. The covenant that God established with Abraham goes all the way back to the beginning. In the book of Genesis chapter 12, the Lord speaks to Abram before he was Abraham. I'm going to pull this up here. This is Genesis 12. He tells Abram, get out of your country, get away from your family and from your father's house, step out from what you're familiar with. I'm going to bring you to a land I will show you. I, the Lord, will make you a great nation. I said a nation, a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And in verse 3, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So then we go to Genesis chapter 15. When you get down here, God begins to make, he establishes his covenant with Abraham further, changes his name from Abram to Abraham. We're going to see this come into play. And it says here, to your descendants, he's speaking to Abraham, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Raphim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So to me, again, notice here, Abraham was told that his descendants would be given the land that would stretch from Egypt to the river Euphrates. All of this land was given to Abraham, and this is where God established his covenant with Abraham and his descendants after him. This is a covenant. Then we go to Genesis 17. Look at, follow with me, guys. I know this is a lot of Bible reading, but this is a foundation. This is an equipping message, but it's a warning. Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years of age, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And then Abram fell upon his face and talked with God, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father. Now he's speaking to Abram right here. You shall be a father of many nations. And no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. That's what Abraham means. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Now look at this. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations. Y'all see this? For now, look, here's what's important. For an everlasting covenant. Somebody say an everlasting covenant. To be God to you and your descendants after you. This even means all the way to 2024. Also, I give to you, Abraham, and your descendants after you in the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So folks, listen to me. That land where all of this turmoil is taking place, where all of the controversy surrounding it, where all the tensions are reach a boiling point, where there's international tension, international calls for boycotts, for sanctions, for division of land, or for Israel to give up land for peace. Again, the land that has been given to them all the way back to to Abraham. This was a covenant established by God. It was a promise made by God, and it's an everlasting covenant. So friends, listen, you better hear this warning. I know preachers don't preach on this because a lot of them have yielded to and they have been succumbed to a false doctrine called replacement theology. So they find no weight in this. They find no value in this. And they don't believe what I'm telling you here today. But when anyone, any nation and its leader starts messing with the nation of Israel, when they start cursing it, when they start pressuring it, when they turn their back against Israel, and they begin to try to force it to be divided, there is consequences that come as a result of this. And I'm going to show you right now in history how disasters formed right in these timelines of when this was taking place. Now, before we're going to give you some examples, but I want to make some stuff clear here. Write this down if you're taking notes. When God begins to allow selective judgments to come upon nations. Now, when we say selective judgments, many of these things are, for example, Sodom and Gomorrah is a perfect example of selective judgment, because there was one city called Zoar of the cities of the plains that was spared, and the rest of the cities were destroyed because of the iniquities and the transgressions and the abominations that was being committed in those cities. Okay? So, and then also the judgment of God can also be compared to God's hand of favor being removed from a nation, a people, a civilization. Okay? When it's removed, it allows the enemy to come in. It allows, watch this, disasters to run wild, destruction, calamities, and the list goes on. When you study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll discover that there is four elements that God uses when he carries out these selective judgments, or when he removes his hand of favor. You will see these four elements take place. Ready? You will see it in the form of earth, wind, water, and fire. You will see earthquakes, sinkholes, and volcanoes. You will see tornadoes, hurricanes, typhoons, and cyclones. You will see flooding. You'll see landslides, historic flooding, historic landslides. You will see wildfires. What am I talking about? Earth, wind, water, and fire. These four elements can be seen in all of these disasters that I just named. Look what the Lord said through in Jeremiah's day, in Jeremiah 25:32. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, disasters shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. So again, this is the Lord speaking this. What am I talking about? I'm talking about judgment, selective judgments, the favor of God being lifted off of nations, and disasters and calamities come. Nahum 1:3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Your Bible says that in the book of Nahum. Now, let me give you some examples of these. The earth was judged by flood in Noah's day, and according to Peter, it will be judged by fire in the future days, when it will be renovated by fire in the end days. In Sodom and Gomorrah's day, there was fire and brimstone that came out of heaven. Scholars believe that this very well could have been a volcanic eruption or a meteorite. There's a really rift in this among archaeologists and theologians, of what exactly happened. But again, when the author wrote that, when Moses wrote the account of Genesis 19 and the destruction that came to Sodom and Gomorrah, he describes it as fire and brimstone coming out of heaven. But when you do your own research on this, you'll discover that there is evidence that it could have very well been a volcanic eruption there at the Dead Sea Basin. This would explain why Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt. But then there's another camp that said that there was a meteor that came and entered the earth's atmosphere and went over that area. And it was like this super combustion that came through, and that caused it. But again, we could debate that, but whatever the case may be, it was a form of judgment. When the sons of Korah, who led a rebellion against Moses and his leadership, remember, there's Korah, and then there was 450 or 250. I think it was 250 men. When they led this rebellion, the Bible says that the earth opened up and swallowed them alive. We would call this a sinkhole or a form of an earthquake. Then Revelation says there's great hailstones. Revelation 11 says there's a mega quake that strikes Israel. Then there's another mega quake or a volcanic eruption or both that strike during Gog and Magog. So we see this, guys. And then in modern times, I believe we see these historic, record-breaking, tornadic outbreaks. We see hurricanes that are at such levels that it astonishes the experts and the NOAA and so on and so forth. So just something I want to keep in the back of your mind. All right, now let's talk about this. In 1991, listen to me really clearly, guys. I need you to really pay attention to this. I know in the chat room, people get off on tangents and they start talking about all kinds of stuff that ain't even got any relevance to the topic. But you really need to be paying attention to this because all this is going to play a role in today and where we're going in the future. And I'm going to take you back to 1991. As President George H.W. Bush opened up the Madrid, Spain conference, wherein which the topic was the consideration for land for peace in Israel's Middle East, the perfect storm began to develop in the North Atlantic, creating the largest waves ever recorded in that region. This perfect storm traveled 1,000 miles from east to west instead of the normal west to east pattern. And it crashed into the New England coast. 35-foot waves crashed into the home of President Bush. This was in 1991. While he was considering at a conference that was centered around land for peace, which would divide Israel, that was taking place. August 23rd, 1992, when the Madrid conference moved to Washington, D.C., their peace talks resumed. While that happened, Hurricane Andrew, which turned out to be the worst natural disaster ever to strike America during that time, came ashore and produced an estimated $30 billion in damage and left 180,000 homeless in the state of Florida. What was happening then? Land for peace talks. January 16th, 1994. President Bill Clinton at that time was meeting with Syria's president at that time, Hafez al-Assad in Geneva. There they discussed a peace agreement with Israel that included giving up the Golan Heights within a 24-hour period. A powerful magnitude 6.9 earthquake rocked Southern California. This quake at that time was centered in Northridge, and it became the second most destructive natural disaster ever to strike the United States behind Hurricane Andrew. January 21st, 1998. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meets with President Clinton at the White House and is shunned. He received a very cold reception. Clinton and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright refused to even have lunch with him. They shunned him. And shortly afterwards, on that same day, are you hearing me? On the same day, the Monica Lewinsky scandal made news, national global news, mass media all over it, and began to occupy a major portion of Clinton's time, and that's where his downfall came. On the same day, September 28th, 1998, as Secretary of State Albright was working out the final details of an agreement in which Israel would give up 13% of Judea and Samaria for peace, Hurricane George slams into the United States Gulf Coast with over 110 miles an hour winds and gusts up to 175 miles an hour. This hurricane struck the coast and stalled. On the 28th of September, Clinton met with Yasser Arafat and Netanyahu at the White House to finalize this land deal. Later, Arafat addressed the United Nations about declaring an independent Palestinian state by May of 1999, as Hurricane George pounded the Gulf Coast, causing $1 billion in damage. at the exact time that Arafat departed the country, the storm began to dissipate. October 15th to the 22nd, 1998. On October 15th, 1998, Arafat and Netanyahu meet at the Y River Plantation in Maryland. The talks are scheduled to last 5 days with the focus on Israel giving up 13% again of this land. They still don't get it. The talks are extended and conclude on the 23rd of October. On October 17th, powerful rains and tornadoes struck southern Texas. The San Antonio area was deluged with rain. The rain and flooding in Texas continued until October 22nd and then subsided. The floods ravaged 25% of Texas and left over $1 billion in damage. On October 21st, Clinton declared this section of Texas a major disaster area. November 30th, 1998. Yasser Arafat comes to Washington again. He meets with President Clinton to raise money for a Palestinian state with Jerusalem as its capital. A total of 42 other nations were represented in Washington. All the nations agreed to give Arafat $3 billion in aid. Clinton promised to give $400 million of U.S. dollars and the European nations $1.7 billion. On the very same day that this was being conspired, the Dow Jones average drops 216 points, and on December 1st, the European market had its third worst day in history. Hundreds of billions of market capitalization were wiped out in the U.S. and Europe. Are you kidding me? They were fine. The world leaders, America and the EU, were financing to split Israel, to give up land, and their stock markets was crippled. Oh, but I'm sure it's just a coincidence, isn't it? December 12th, 1998. Bill Clinton is impeached. As Clinton lands in the Palestinian-controlled section of Israel to discuss the land for peace process, the House of Representatives vote 4 articles of impeachment against him the very day that he lands in Israel. To discuss the division of Israel, he's impeached. May 3rd, 1999, Yasser Arafat is scheduled to declare a Palestinian state with Jerusalem as the capital. The most powerful tornado storm system ever to hit the United States, sweeps across Oklahoma and Kansas. I said Oklahoma and Kansas. I said flooding in Texas. Do I got your attention yet? The winds are clocked at 316 miles an hour, the fastest wind speed ever recorded. The declaration is postponed to December 1999 at the request of President Clinton, whose letter to Arafat encouraged him and his aspirations for his own land. He also writes that the Palestinians had a right to determine their own future on their own land and that they deserve to live free today, tomorrow, and forever. This all happened, guys. It's documented. On the week of October 11th, 1999, as Jewish settlers in 15 West Bank Israel settlements are evicted from their covenant land in Israel, the Dow Jones financial averages lose 5.7% in the worst week since October 1989. On October 15th, the Dow loses 266 points and a hurricane slams into North Carolina. On the next morning, October the 16th, a magnitude 7.1 quake rocked the Southwest in the fifth most powerful earthquake in the 20th century. The earthquake was centered in the California desert and did little damage, but was felt across 3 states. On Friday, August the 8th, of 2005, the G8 met and promised $3 billion a year for 3 years to Israel if it relocated 8,000 residents from the West Bank and Gaza. The evacuations were to begin on August 17, 2005. 1 week later, America experienced Hurricane Katrina on the Gulf Coast, which resulted in the relocation of 800,000 Americans. Think about that. 8,000 residents were stripped from their homes in Israel, and it was decided by a G8 meeting, which America was part of under Bush and Condoleezza Rice. 8,000 displaced from Israel. America gets hit 1 week later. And by the way, that hurricane began to develop the day that G8 meeting was taking place to determine that. 8,000 stripped from their land. A week later, Katrina slams in the Gulf Coast, causing 800,000 Americans to be relocated. Do the math on that. Was it a coincidence, or was this a tenfold judgment of God? On April 19, 2010, Israel celebrated its independence as a nation. On the evening of this day, the Obama administration announced a policy against the nation of Israel, stating that the U.S. would no longer automatically stand with the nation of Israel as an ally in the United Nations. Never before in U.S. history has an American president and his administration made such a statement like this. Well, the next day, the explosion off the Deepwater Horizon took place off the Gulf of Mexico, in which 11 people died, and subsequent oil spill disaster developed in the Gulf of Mexico, which resulted in the worst disaster in U.S. history, involving a leaking deep water oil well, which devastated a vast area of the U.S. marine environment, killed marine life, and had serious impact on local fishing industry. Efforts at containing the spill took forever to be successful. It was finally contained, but the environmental effects and repercussions are yet to this day still unknown. March 11th, 2010, the government of Japan deplores the decisions of the government of Israel to give permission for the construction of 1,600 housing units in East Jerusalem, in addition to 112 units in West Bank, just after the Israeli and Palestinian leadership's acceptance of the start of indirect talks. The government of Japan does not recognize any act that prejudices the final status of Jerusalem and the territories in the pre-67 borders. Japan demands that the plan should not be implemented. The government of Japan continues to request strongly that both parties would act in a way that enhances mutual confidence. Japan sincerely hoped that the indirect talks and peace process, again, all of this resulting in Israel being divided, right? This was in March 11th, 2010. Consequently, 1 year to the date, March 11th, 2011, a catastrophic 9.0 earthquake struck off the coast of Japan, triggering a tsunami that devastated whole entire cities in moments. And Japan also suffered from the Fukushima, the nuclear plant there, that suffered great loss there with the power outage, and that caused another environmental issue there. Then we fast forward to April 12, 2011. Clinton told Arab and U.S. policymakers in a speech that placed particular emphasis on Israeli-Palestinian peace. Now listen to this. A letter of warning from a Jewish rabbi to the Obama administration warned them to stop pressuring the division of Israel. Within 24 hours, on April 13th, a powerful storm from the Pacific moved into the plains and created a system that unleashed the tornadoes from Oklahoma to Virginia, resulting in devastating tornadoes that rampaged across communities of the southern U.S. cities and towns from Oklahoma to North Carolina. The tornado outbreak led to a total of 267 tornado reports in 15 states over a 3-day period. I want you to remember everything I'm telling you today, because I'm getting ready to show you something. Resulted in multiple injuries and over 45 fatalities. Also, Hurricane Matthew formed on September 24th. Then in May of 2011, Obama gets up on national television. He pushes again for pre-67 borders. And if within days, the Joplin tornado takes place. Then you fast forward, you go into the summer months of that year. There's yet another push. And what happens? There's an earthquake in Virginia that's felt in Washington and cracks the Washington Monument. Guys, I'm sure all of this, though, is just a coincidence, right? I mean, all of it's just got to be happenstance and coincidences. Here we have the Biden administration that is pushing Israel around, threatening them, cursing Netanyahu on the phone behind his back, telling him, we're not going to support you. We're going to limit our support to you. First time, again, since the Obama administration. That's not a coincidence either, because Biden is just a continuation of the Obama administration. And this administration, this is not being, again, no nation, no U.S. president, no administration has ever treated Israel like this, except for the Obama administration. And here we have this administration pushing Israel around, cursing them, limiting their support for them, and they're pushing, listen to me, they're pushing for the division of Israel for a Palestinian state. Do not be surprised, friend, if you don't see this coming before this four-year election cycle comes to an end and we head to the polls in November, because Biden is going to push for this. But my friends, I am deeply concerned for America based on all of the research that I just showed you, the evidence. Everything is out there on the table. Now, think about everything that he's been saying and he's doing to the nation of Israel, and look what has transpired. The New Jersey earthquake, the solar eclipse. Look, my goodness, guys, let me pull this up
here. Texas still recovering from historic flooding right now. The rain may have stopped, but the rivers are rising. And there's a new weather threat to the north today.
The catastrophic flooding in Texas turning deadly south of Fort Worth. Police in Johnson County say two adults and a four-year-old boy were in a vehicle hit by fast-moving floodwater. A witness says all three, trying to get out, were swept away. The adults survived. The boy's body was found hours later.
It puts the fear of God in you.
Parts of southeast Texas received 2 feet of rain in just a matter of days. The area from Beaumont to College Station seeing 800% of its normal rainfall.
It's a kick in the knee. We'll just say that.
More than 200 people have been rescued so far in Harris County outside of Houston. This man and his three dogs saved by police on jet skis in water 10 feet deep. The storms have passed for now, but local rivers could be swollen for days. Now the attention turns to the plains, bracing for possible tornadoes today from Oklahoma to Nebraska.
I was really, really scared.
A 9-year-old Oklahoma boy is being hailed a hero for saving his parents when a recent tornado hit.
As soon as I went to go get help, I said, don't die.
Branson Baker and his parents were driving to a storm shelter late last month when they say the EF4 tornado tossed their truck into a pile of trees. His parents suffered serious injuries, but Branson was uninjured in the back seat, so he ran about 1 mile to get help.
For him to run as fast as he did, as hard as he did, he's a very courageous son. For a 9-year-old boy, not many adults would have done what he did.
Multiple tornadoes strike across 6 states with more than 350 damaging storms reported across the U.S. Now, this doesn't even give an account for the outbreak that transpired before this one.
tonight marking seven straight days of reported tornadoes decimating America's heartland, with one late today appearing to touch down in Texas.
Oh my God, it's blowing people's houses away!
Meanwhile, new images of storms overnight with twisters tearing across Kansas and hail hammering Missouri, leaving a patchwork trail of destruction that continues to grow. Robin Knobloch's home survived, but her niece's house was heavily damaged.
Famous thing of the freight train. You could hear it in the wind. It was very loud. I fully expected our house to be gone the way it sounded.
13 tornadoes were reported overnight across Oklahoma and Kansas. Authorities in Westmoreland confirming one person was killed, nearly two dozen homes destroyed. It's the latest community caught in a broad sweep of violent weather, with more than 180 tornadoes reported since Thursday, at least six people killed, including a four-month-old girl. She was with her family inside their Oklahoma home Saturday when a tornado threw it 200 yards. The infant's mom telling NBC News, "We are heartbroken." And tonight, the threat continues with 23 million Americans once again under severe weather threats, battering a swath of America already exhausted and weary of what's next.
This is just recent. 13 tornadoes across Kansas, Tennessee, Illinois, Kentucky, South Dakota, and Missouri just in the past 24 hours, with more than 350 damaging storm reports from Kansas to the Carolinas, including hail larger than a softball in Missouri and wind gusts up to 72 miles an hour in Indiana. There was a tornado emergency issued in Huntsville, Alabama overnight into Thursday, including at least one reported tornado that produced damage. Check this out.
The National Weather Service says there were at least 300 tornadoes. Yes, 300 tornadoes in the United States last month alone. That makes it the second highest tornado count in April on record.
Second highest on record in the month of April.
On average, about 182 tornadoes are reported during the month.
So far, 2024's first violent tornado was an EF4 that struck in Oklahoma on April 27th. Dozens of tornadoes also touched down.
Oh, and by the way, April 27th. Oh, I'm sure this is just a coincidence, too. That happened to be April 27th, huh? Well, you know what happened? You know, listen to this. The 2011 super outbreak. Remember, that was the same time frame when the last president got up and was pushing for the division of Israel. In 2011, there was a super tornado outbreak, which was the largest, costliest, and one of the deadliest tornado outbreaks ever recorded. Listen to me. You better listen to what this preacher's telling you. I know you're not going to hear a lot of this from your typical pastors and Christian television programs, but I'm trying to prepare you, because I am sick over this, guys, because I feel like there's the worst things coming. Is if we keep seeing the push of this from the Biden administration, you're going to see a lot worse. Let me read on. I don't want to get sidetracked. This took place in the southern, midwestern, and northeastern United States. Look at this timeline. April 25th to the 28th in 2000, leaving catastrophic destruction in its wake. Over 175 tornadoes struck Alabama, Mississippi, and Tennessee, which were the most severe damaged states. Other destructive tornadoes occurred in Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, New York, and Virginia, with storms also affecting other states in the southern and eastern U.S. In total, 360 tornadoes were confirmed by the NOAA and Government of Canada's Environment Canada in 21 states from Texas to New York to southern Canada. Now look at this. Widespread and destructive tornadoes occurred on each day of the outbreak. April 27th was the most active day, with 216 tornadoes touching down that day from midnight to midnight.
National Weather Service talks about how April is the third most active severe weather month, followed by, that comes in third. May is the most active month, followed by June, and then April.
So we're not even in the most active month. May, next month, is the most active month for tornadic activity. This is why I'm concerned. If we're having this kind of level of tornadoes now, what's going to happen in the month of May? What's going to happen if Biden continues to do what he's doing and treating the nation of Israel? And then it leads me to this final point that I want to show you. Here is what else is very concerning. This is just tornado season. We haven't even gotten to hurricane season, and every legit forecaster that I know of that tracks storms and weather are all saying the same thing, and they're saying that this year's Atlantic hurricane season is going to be historic, one for the record, and most of these guys are very concerned about the outlook.
We are just now about 2 months away from the start of hurricane season, and forecasters are already predicting this season will be one of the most active in history. AccuWeather is predicting at least 20 to 25 named storms, 8 to 12 of them hurricanes, and 4 to 7 major hurricanes, Category 3 or above. Up to 6 of those possibly making a direct hit to the U.S. AccuWeather thinks these 4 regions, including all of South Florida, where we live, are in line to see a storm.
Now, and look, these guys that are making these statements, I don't even know if they're believers. They don't know the Bible. They're not making this connection between the treatment of how we treat the nation of Israel. Now, they're saying this based on the perfect storm conditions to produce this. Now, you coupled that with, listen to me, with everything I just showed you today on a nation and its leader trying to come against the nation of Israel, which invokes the Lord. When you put all that together, guys, you have a recipe for something that could be, it's hard for me to articulate the words. I am very concerned, guys. And I am so concerned that I want to leave this segment with prayer. I've delivered this message. This is a warning. I had an equipping message that I wanted to do today. I didn't even want to talk about this, but there are some events that transpire. We got another. I'm going to show you something tomorrow that is prophetic. It's equipping. I guess you could say it's an equipping message, but it's a Bible prophecy. It's a viewpoint that we're going to talk about from an article that came out, something that the Vatican is doing. And this is something we need to pay attention to because it is absolutely prophetic in nature and it's end time related. So watch for that tomorrow, May 10th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Listen, can we all do something right now? Can we all come together in unity and let's begin to pray? Why is this essential? Because if you live in hurricane zones, you live in tornado zones, you live in earthquake zones, you live in wildfire zones, you live anywhere where you're susceptible to these things, we need to be in much prayer and intercession, because I think things are going to ramp up on a level that is unprecedented. If this administration continues to do what they're doing and treating the nation of Israel like they are, I'm telling you, more and extreme and more intense disasters are going to come. And it's going to make this look minute in comparison. So let's pray right now. Father, Lord, I have delivered your word today. I believe this is a warning to the body of Christ, not to scare us, not to put us in anxiety, not to bring fear, but to bring preparation. And one of the ways, and one of the greatest ways that we can prepare is through prayer. We prepare through praying and interceding. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I want to start by lifting up our nation. I represent the nation of America here. If you are watching, you're listening, and you represent your nation, perhaps you're one of these nations in the United Nations that's involved in that. You're a nation that's one of these nations that's pushing to divide Israel or derogatory, treating Israel derogatory. Then you should be of concern too. We ask that you join us and pray for your nation and your leaders as well. But we lift up the Biden administration. We lift up his cabinet right now. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that somebody, if you could send somebody into his proximity, into his path, into the White House, and somewhere in there in his intelligence, that is a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled believer that understands the importance of not treating Israel derogatory, not coming against them, not trying to divide the land, not trying to provoke them, not trying to curse them. But Lord, we're praying, I'm praying that you would raise up someone right there in Washington that can be, that can speak into his ear and try to shake him awake and turn him from doing this. But Father, if this continues, I pray that you remember your people, remember those of us that are in covenant with you, those of us that are under the blood, Lord, those of us that have a relationship with you, Jesus Christ. I pray that you would protect us, that you would keep us. Lord, if we're in these zones, in these areas, I pray that you would send supernatural protection, that you'd put angels about our homes, angels about our property, angels about our families, angels about all of our possessions in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. Lord, you said in the book of Proverbs, as the whirlwind path, that the wicked are no more, but the righteous have an everlasting foundation. I thank you for, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for angelic hosts and warring angels, Lord. You said in the book of Hebrews, are these not ministering spirits given to the heirs of salvation? Lord, they're given to us to protect us, to bless us, to be with us. Lord, you said in Psalm 91 that they would bear us up in their hands lest we dash our foot against a stone. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your protecting power, Lord, from your word and from your covenant. And Lord, we rest in peace with this, knowing, Father, that you are in control. Ultimately, you're in control. And we know, God, that we're in perilous times and we're going to witness these things and experience these things. The prophets have warned us this. The word of God has warned us about this. Your very words have warned us about this. And Lord, we know that in Luke 21:28, you said, when we begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. So Father, we thank you that our redemption is even nearer than it was yesterday, because we're one day closer from the eastern sky splitting, that trumpet blasting, and hearing, come up hither. So until that day, Father, I pray that you would continue to preserve us, protect us, and prepare us in the days ahead. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people said amen and amen. Guys, again, don't forget to hit that like button. Please do me a favor and share this program. I believe it'll be a great blessing to many individuals who need to hear this, warn this. Remember, get this out to your coworkers, to your family members, to your neighbors, people that need to hear the gospel. Show them this stuff. This is eye-opening stuff. This is great witnessing stuff to show them that there's a God in heaven who has a covenant with Israel, and that he will not lie, and he will not break his covenant, and he will not allow others to do so as well. And again, guys, don't forget, we do have a free app. It's available on Apple and Android. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. And as always, guys, if this ministry equips you and informs you, it blesses you week after week, we always want to give our listeners and our viewers an opportunity to sow into this ministry, partner with this ministry, whatever your relationship is with this ministry. We want to give you the opportunity. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website right there on the screen, endtimeheadlines.org. Or you can give by check or money order by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Listen, we got a great program lined up to close out this week of podcasting tomorrow night, Friday, May 10th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Wait till you hear what the Vatican is preparing for and why I believe it has biblical implications. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.